A town as secluded, and secluded it most certainly was. It also happened to be cheap, and in those days I was poor. And so I found my way to the farm of Mr. Hosking, on whose land the house stood, and who was offering the house at a very reasonable rent.
You come to see me?
If you're Farmer Hosking.
I'm Farmer Hosking. What's it about?
About the house you have for rent.
Trisillac?
Is that its name?
Yes. You'd better come inside, hadn't you?
Thank you.
Sit down.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hosking.
You've been to the agent in town, then?
Yes.
On your own, are you?
Yes, I am.
I see. Bit odd, isn't it?
What, Mr. Hosking? That I should want to rent a house, or that I'm on my own?
A bit of both, to tell the truth.
Well, if we're going to tell the truth...
No, miss, don't get angry. I only ask because... Well, I'm not saying you're like the others, but...
What others?
The other tenants. The other tenants that have come here. Some of them have caused me no end of trouble.
I haven't come here to cause you trouble.
I'm not saying you have, miss, but I have to be careful now. Because the house is secluded, they got up to all kinds of things. Shady goings on, I can tell you. Why, I
don't think I want to know the details, Mr. Hosking. I can assure you that in my case, nothing shady will go on as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, well...
What does that mean?
A young lady on her own, no husband, no guardian, no protector of any kind, comes here out of the blue. Well, I don't know.
Mr. Hosking, let me be as truthful with you as you have been with me. First and foremost, I am a spinster from a decent family. I am a spinster by choice. And upon the recent death of my mother, I decided I would like to live a rural life of combined seemliness and economy, for I have only a small, regular income. Well, I don't know what more I can say. Proof. Look. Perhaps this letter from the family solicitor informing me of my annuity would be sufficient proof of identity and integrity.
If you did come here...
Yes?
If, mind, only if. There is one thing I must tell you, though.
Oh? And what's that?
Whoever takes the house must take Mrs. Cahill along with it.
Mrs. Cahill? Is she the housekeeper?
Yes. She was the wife of a late cousin of mine.
I see.
I'm sorry, miss, but I had to make it a rule after... Well, after some of the things that happened up there with the previous tenants. You won't find her so bad, miss. Mary Cahill's a sensible, comfortable woman, and she knows the place inside out. She was in service there to Squire Kendall until he sold up and went. Her first place it was.
Yes. Well, if you'd be good enough, Mr. Hosking... Perhaps I could see the house now.
Oh, of course, miss. Follow me.
And this would be your bedroom, Miss Tolson, if you decided to rent a house at it.
Oh, Mrs. Cahill, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. This is better than anything I dreamed of.
I shouldn't let my cousin hear you say that if I were you. You want to put the rent up.
I take it you like the house, then.
Oh, yes. Everything is so immaculate. You keep it in beautiful order, Mrs. Cahill.
Thank you.
Then you'd like to rent the place. Is that it?
Oh, yes, Mr. Hosking. It's beautiful. I've fallen in love with Trisillac already. And I like this room best of all.
I think she'll be happy here, Robert.
Oh, I know I should be. And it is for the rent specified, isn't it, Mr. Hosking?
Yes, it is.
Then, if I suit you...
What do you think, Mary? Does she suit?
I think she'll suit nicely, Robert.
along the beach, have you?
Yes, it's a lovely walk down from the Coon.
You go there very early in the morning, Miss. Don't you find a chill in the air at that time?
A little, but it's bracing. I don't deserve you, do I? Getting up so early.
No. I heard you one morning. So I thought you weren't feeling well. So I went to your room, but you weren't there. Then I saw from the window you walking up the path. So I guessed what you were up to.
I suppose you don't have much time to go out, Mrs. Carhill.
Oh, yes. Well, enough to satisfy my old bones.
I don't know how you have any free time at all. You keep my bedroom, well, the whole house, so spotless.
That's kind of you to say so, Miss.
Makes me feel more than a little guilty, I can tell you.
Guilty? Why should you feel guilty?
That you won't allow me to help. I wouldn't mind, really.
But you're the tenant, Miss Poulton. It's not required of you.
But the house is so big, and I have so little to do except some writing I've started.
I can manage, thank you, Miss Poulton.
All that polishing and cleaning.
You don't need to worry about it. I enjoy housework. I take great pride in the way Tristilla's looks. I wouldn't want anyone interfering. Well, taking over what is, after all, my job.
Well, I must be the luckiest person alive. My every need is attended to. If I were paying twice the rent, I couldn't ask for more. That's why I feel so guilty, Mrs. Carhill. I've been here a month now, and I don't think I'm contributing enough. I can't afford to pay more, but I could help more by... Mrs. Carhill? Mrs. Carhill?
What?
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
What is it? Did you hear something?
No. My mind just strayed to one of those little jobs I should be doing, and which so far today has been neglected. Well, Miss Poulton, if you'll excuse me, I have a great deal to do.
Yes, Mrs. Carhill always had a great deal to do. Meals were prepared to the moment. In 100-odd little ways, this orderliness, these preparations, seemed to anticipate my every desire. Did I but wish the roses renewed on the dinner table, and sure enough, at the next meal, they would have been replaced by fresh ones. I told myself that Mrs. Carhill must have noticed and interpreted a glance of mine, and had done it forthwith. One morning, I thought I'd test her. I woke up extra early and went down to the kitchen to discover whether Mrs. Carhill was an even earlier riser than myself, carrying out all the housework in the first light of dawn.
Mrs. Carhill? Mrs. Carhill?
Oh. I can't believe it. Again, cleaner than you've been.
You're getting up earlier than ever, Miss Poulton.
Oh, Mrs. Carter, you frightened me. I didn't hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. I followed you down because I heard you pass my door and then call out.
Well, no, I wasn't calling out exactly. The kitchen is so clean and tidy.
Isn't it usually, then?
Oh, of course. Please don't misunderstand me. The kitchen, my room, everywhere in the house, in fact, is always spotless. No. I'm asking, well, questioning, really, when you could possibly have done all this work.
Is that so important?
Not in itself, no. But last night, after all the jam-making, I came in here to make myself a cup of tea. And the kitchen was a tip. An absolute tip.
What are you trying to say, Miss Poulton?
Well, you couldn't have cleaned up last night because you went to bed before me. I was reading in the dining room till quite late, and I heard you go upstairs. Shortly afterwards, I came in here and made myself a cup of tea. So I imagine that you must do your housework, or at least the major part of it, in the very early hours of the morning. I thought I'd come down and test my theory out, that's all. Catch you out. But what do I find?
It's already done.
Yes, impeccably. Everything has been scrubbed. The utensils gleam, the kitchen range sparkles. When, Mrs. Cahill? When? That's all I ask.
Miss Poulsen, if it'll put your mind at rest, then I must tell you I'm one of those people who cannot sleep knowing there's a job left undone. You were quite right. I was tired after all that jab-making, and I decided to have 40 winks in my room before coming back down to the kitchen to clear up. I came down about, I suppose it must have been about 2 o'clock.
I see.
It only took me an hour. Then I went to bed again and slept content.
It must have taken you much longer than an hour to complete all this, surely.
Not an hour, that's all. The clock struck 3 as I came upstairs.
Well, as I said before, Mrs. Cahill, you're a remarkable woman. A truly remarkable woman.
And what have you there, Miss Poulsen?
Some roses, aren't they lovely? Oh,
beautiful, miss. I'll get a vase to put them in.
Thank you. Aren't they a lovely colour? And the fragrance is quite overpowering. I thought they looked nice in the hall.
You're not putting them in your room, then?
Well, I wasn't planning to, no.
Oh, I see. Here's the vase, miss.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that'll be perfect.
Mrs. Cahill?
Yes, miss?
Tap isn't working.
Not working, miss?
No. It wasn't yesterday either, I noticed. There isn't a drop of water coming out. Look.
Oh, let me look. Maybe it's stuck.
Well, no, it hasn't stuck. See, you can turn it on and off quite easily. There simply isn't any water coming through.
Dear me. You'll have to fill the vase from the bathroom tap.
The taps in the rest of the house appear to be working quite normally.
Well, I never use a pantry tap myself. I've no cause to.
No, but there has to be a reason. You must find it a great nuisance washing up the plates and glasses in the kitchen and not here in the pantry, surely. I suggest we go and take a look at the cistern.
The cistern's all right, miss. I assure you, I don't think that's the trouble.
For someone who's so proud of Drusilla.
I am, miss. You know I am.
Yes, well, you must be concerned about the tap and the possible reason for it not working. I mean, at the moment it's only affecting this tap. But if left, the trouble could spread. I mean, one morning we could wake up and find ourselves without water altogether. Now let's do as I say and take a look at the cistern at the back of the house.
It's just as I thought, Mrs. Cahill.
What's that?
The big cistern is just about full, and yet the smaller one, this one at a lower level, is empty.
And what does that mean, miss? I'm afraid I'm not very good at this sort of thing.
Well, it means the pipe between the two cisterns is choked. Now, let me see if I can...
I wouldn't do that, miss. I really wouldn't do that. The pantry tap is only cold water and of no use to me. The kitchen boiler gives me hot water, you see, and that
yes,
serves to do.
I want the pantry water for my flowers. Ah, I thought as much. There's something blocking the pipe. A plug. Or a cork. Ah.
Oh, look. It was stuck in the outlet. See, Mrs. Cahill, you're stopping the flow of water completely. Good Lord.
What, miss?
It looks as if... Oh, no. Well, it appears that someone has deliberately placed it there. See, the cork's covered in a piece of rag. A calico print to make it fit better in the outlet hole. I... Oh, no. No, that's too silly for work.
Yes, miss?
Nothing, Mrs. Cahill. Nothing. Heaven's name is that. It's not raining yet. What's the time? 2 o'clock. Oh dear, I just can't concentrate on my book with that noise going on. somewhere, that's it. And it's running into a drain outside my window. It's a pantry tap. Oh, it can't be the tap running again. I turned it off. You know I did. It's the tap. It's Mrs. Carhill's doing. Oh, no, don't be silly. Why would she want to do that? She did her own back because she didn't want that pantry tap working. Oh, no, that doesn't make sense. Oh, damn the tap. I'll have to go downstairs and turn it off again, I suppose. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. At the sink in the pantry, two small hands, a child's hands. I can't tell you how they ended. They weren't cut off or anything like that, but I saw them distinctly. Just a pair of small hands, the wrists, and after that, nothing. They were washing themselves clean. I saw the water trickling and splashing over them, not through them, but just as it would on real hands. And they were the hands of a girl, too. Boys wash their hands differently from girls. Don't ask me how, but there is a difference, an unmistakable difference. And, well, Mrs. Carhill, you knew all the time. You knew. It was you who plugged the cistern, wasn't it? That piece of calico print, I knew I'd seen it before. One of the dresses you wear.
What do you want me to say, Miss Poulton? You have seen.
Oh, you must tell me, never mind how bad the details are. Is it murder?
Lord bless you, miss. Whatever put such horrors in your head?
She was washing her hands.
And so she does, poor dear. But murder? A dear little Miss Margaret who wouldn't hurt a fly?
Miss Margaret?
That's right. Squire Kendall's only daughter. She died when she was 7, and that was about 20 years ago. I was her nurse, miss, so I know. Diphtheria, it was. She got it down in the village.
But how'd you know? It's Margaret.
Oh, those hands. How could I mistake the hands of a child I'd held in my arms so often?
But why does she wash them?
Well, miss, being always a dainty child, and the housework, you see.
Do you mean to tell me that all this tidying and dusting, is it she who's been taking care of me? Who's been cleaning and polishing my room, cleaning the kitchen?
Oh, well, Smith.
Oh, poor little soul.
I'm so glad you take it like this, because there's really nothing to be afraid of, is there? It's my belief she loves you, miss.
Really?
Well, I just think of what a dreadful time she must have had with the others.
The others? What others?
The other tenants, miss. The ones here before you.
Were they bad?
They were dreadful. Didn't farmhouse can tell you? They carried on fearful, one after the other, and each one worse than the last.
Well, what was the matter with the Mrs. Carhill? Drink?
Oh, with some of them it was, yes. There was a major, he used to go mad with it and run about the coop in his nightshirt.
Oh, scandalous it was. And his wife drank, too. That is, if she ever was his wife. Just think of that tender child washing up after their nasty goings-on.
Oh, poor thing.
But that wasn't the worst by a long way. There was a pair here from the colonies, or so they said, with two children, a boy and a girl. The elder was scarcely six. Poor mites.
What happened?
They beat those children, miss. Oh. Their blood had boiled. And starved and tortured them, too, if the truth were told. You could hear their screams, I've been told, way back along the high road. And that's the best part of half a mile away. And sometimes they were locked up without food for days on end. But it's my belief that little Miss Margaret managed to feed them somehow. Oh, I can see her creeping to their door and comforting them.
No more, I beg you. If I'm to have any peace of mind in this house,
that you won't go.
Surely, miss.
She loves you. I know she does. And think what you might be leaving her to.
What do you mean?
Well, what sort of tenant may come next to replace you? For she can't go, even if you can. She's been here ever since her father sold the place, and he died soon after. No, miss, you mustn't go. You can't.
Oh, Mrs. Cahill,
please, miss, say you won't go.
Very well, I won't go.
Oh, thank God. Thank you, Miss Poulton.
After all, it's as you say. There's nothing to be afraid of.
That's it, miss. Nothing at all. We've got the secret between us. So we can lie in our beds. And if we hear anything, we can say, God bless the child, and go straight back to sleep.
I spent three happy years at Tristilac. And all that while, we shared the secret. It ran through my waking life like a song. It smoothed my pillow, touched and made my table comely. In summer, lifted the heads of the flowers as I passed, and in the winter, watched the fire with me and kept it bright. Then that fateful day came as I knew it must, the day I had to leave Tristilac.
The house.
That's right, miss.
Oh, I know it's nothing to do with me, Mr. Hosking, but may I inquire the name of the purchaser?
Colonel Kendall, miss. Brother of the old squire.
Brother? Oh, I see. A married man, is he, the colonel?
Oh, yes, miss, with a family of eight. As pretty children as you ever saw. And the mother is a good and gracious lady. It's the old home he took Colonel Cantle, so he says.
And that is why you felt bound to sell him the house, is that it?
Well, I have to admit to the fact that he's offering a good price as well.
I see.
Of course, I'm very sorry to have to turn you out, Miss Poulton. I know you've enjoyed your stay here. The house has meant a lot to you.
Yes, it has, Mr. Hosking. It has indeed. However, I think you're doing the right thing.
You've told her then, Robert?
Aye, Mary, I have.
I'm sorry, miss. I really am.
Don't be silly, Mary. I think your cousin is doing the right thing. I've just told him so. Colonel Kendall, yes, it sounds right. Oh, but what's going to happen to you?
I shall be staying.
Oh, good. That's good news.
The colonel said he wanted a housekeeper, and I said if he didn't mind, well then, neither did I.
Good. That's settled, then.
Till the end of the month, then, miss.
Yes, Mr. Hosking. I'll be gone by the end of the month.
Excuse me. Must get back.
Of course, Mr. Hosking. And thank you. Don't look so sad, Mary. I know it's right for her, for Margaret. She'll be so happy with her cousins for company.
That's what I thought. Oh, miss. I'm so glad you think the same.
I do. I do.
You all packed then, Miss Poulton?
Yes, all packed.
I'll miss you. Honest to God, I will.
I'll miss you, Mary. Still, I'm all fixed up. I found myself a furnished room in London with a well-to-do family. They want a companion. I shall be all right. And I'll write to you often.
Oh, yes. Do that, please.
Before I go, there is something... I know it may sound silly.
What's that, Nick?
I want to say goodbye to Miss Margaret.
Do you think you ought?
I'd like to. Just say goodbye. There can be nothing wrong in that. Surely. And so, while Mrs. Cahill waited in the drawing room, I went into the kitchen and then through into the coolness of the pantry.
Margaret,
I whispered. There was no answer. I had scarcely hoped for one. Yet, I tried again. Shutting my eyes this time, I stretched out both my hands and whispered,
Margaret.
And I will swear to my dying day that two little hands came and rested for a moment in mine.